What's inside the middle of a tornado? If you drink nuclear waste, where do you find a rat sensei to train your new mutant abilities? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of This Paranormal Life!
Life! Life! Life!
Hey, welcome back to This Paranormal Life! You're listening to the podcast where every week we discuss a different paranormal tale and get to the bottom of whether it is truly paranormal or not. You are joined by the two greatest, most decorated paranormal investigators in this universe, Mr. Kit Greer. This guy is Rory Pars across from me. How are you doing today, Rory?
I'm doing fantastic. Decorated is an understatement. Mm-hmm. I'm rocking into this paranormal plane with bells and whistles.
I look like a Christmas tree.
I am lit up. I've got the Medal of Honor. I've got the Medal of Dishonor. Mm-hmm. I've got the paranormal... Wait, what's the peace one?
Oh, the Nobel Peace Prize?
The Nobel Peace Prize. I don't have that one. I'm actually pretty aggressive.
I actually also have the Nobel War Prize.
Because I punched the guy who got the Peace Prize and made him give it to me.
Every award really known to man, we've stolen. We've just
true.
Ganked it, thieved it for ourselves.
And smelted it down to make a sword.
One sword. You've heard of a two-handed broadsword? This is a four-handed sword. It takes both of us to wield this puppy. But it doesn't mean it's not deserved. We've been in the paranormal business for years, just investigated dozens upon hundreds of paranormal cases and come to conclusions as to whether they're truly paranormal or not. And today is no different. I have a doozy for you, Rory. Let's dive right in.
Let's go.
Today we journey to near the border of Switzerland and France in a removed and unsuspecting area where, for more than 70 years, a secretive team has assembled from all around the world. The smartest human beings to ever walk the face of the earth gather in secrecy.
Oh, wow.
But they are misunderstood by society. The power they wield is literally otherworldly, ungodly, and potentially paranormal.
Wow, so at the start I thought we were talking about a straight-up secret society here, but now you're and correct me if I'm wrong, sir, talking about wizards? I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but I think we have 70 years of Hogwarts right in front of us.
We have Snape, we have Harry, we have Ron, we have Hermione, the whole smorgasbord of wizards. Or are they something darker? We're talking about CERN. In Switzerland.
Oh my gosh.
For the few people who don't know what that is, it's an international scientific research facility, but don't...
Of wizards! Head to toe!
Okay,
pointy hats!
I'll get
wands.
There.
You ever heard of the Large Cauldron Collider? It's actually pretty magical. We've only been podcasting for barely 5 minutes, and I already feel like I have the authority to speak on your behalf.
Please.
So... It's wizards. CERN is full of wizards smashing atoms together in large cauldron collider.
That's right. Don't be fooled by these seemingly nerdy, egg-headed scientists. These guys are on some Avengers shit, some X-Men shit. They have toyed with the ability to destroy entire worlds. In fact, many of the breakthroughs and technologies, both civilian and military, that we take for granted today have come from this coven of scientific dark magicians.
Ooh.
For example, they discovered antimatter, gravitational waves. They invented the internet itself. They invented touch screens. And recently, they discovered the God particle. Basically, technology that is not only impossible to predict within the present day and our limitations, but impossible to even imagine. And yet, every day, they create the impossible.
I had no idea they were responsible for that much.
Yeah, I mean, I think inventing the internet is a goat move. You could retire on that for sure.
Absolutely.
I'd say that would earn a pretty penny. But to also invent the touchscreen and the God particle? I'm not sure what the God particle is.
I thought that was the internet.
I thought Instagram was the holy Bible.
I'm going to bow down to anything that can supply me with that much pornography. A click of my fingers. I am neck deep.
But a few years ago, CERN became the center of media attention for slightly darker reasons. You see, the most groundbreaking feature of CERN is the LHC, like you mentioned before, except not the Large Cauldron Collider, the Large Hadron Collider, a machine several miles long that collides particles at speeds approaching the speed of light. When they announced that they were going to ramp up the power of the LHC to finally operate at maximum capacity, the international press had a meltdown. Because at these volatile speeds and energies, the LHC becomes capable of creating black holes. Actual black holes. Not only that, but risks causing subatomic particles to collapse into something called strangelets.
That's not a good name for something. I mean, it's not very promising. It's like, well, we might make a strangelet.
Is it dangerous? It sounds like it's dangerous.
Not as dangerous as the deathlet. And there'll be plenty of deathlets.
Are those useful scientifically?
They're actually pretty strange.
And combined, a lethal cocktail. Of no use to science.
You're like, what's the point of this experiment? Experiment? I just want to die. Puts his head in between the atoms as they come round.
Switzerland sucks. I want to end it all. Yeah, strangelets. They sound fun. They sound quirky. But no, these would essentially rip apart the fabric of our solar system, turning all matter that it touches into, quote, strange matter.
That's strange is very much playing it down.
Dead matter is probably closer to the truth of that. I saw a claim somewhere. I didn't verify this, but they were saying that were the Earth to come in contact with a strangelet, that the Earth would be reduced to a steaming hot dense mass about 100 meters across.
A space pancake.
Yes.
This is the technical term, I believe.
So whenever we say strange, we mean utterly destroyed.
Exactly. Like, they called it the atomic bomb to reflect the seriousness of the devastation that would be unleashed. They didn't call it we're going to drop a spicy boy or like a hot one, you know, like... It's like, we are dropping a lethal weapon that will unleash catastrophic amounts of radiation across the world.
That's right. Whenever the Russians created...
I mean, wait, didn't they actually call it Big Daddy? Now that I think about it.
I think they might have had a code name. Should we find that out?
Yeah.
He was called Little Boy.
Jesus Christ.
It's the exact opposite of what you just said.
It's the strangelet of nuclear weapons. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I had never heard of strange matter. They tell you a lot about matter in school. And then later, if you're interested, you might learn about antimatter. That's sure. Pretty far out. No one tells you about strange matter. So when the press find out about all of what we just mentioned, they flipped. The headline said, CERN is going to create the apocalypse. The LHC is going to create a black hole that destroys the Earth, and so on. And CERN tried to defend itself, saying, of course, we're going to make a lot of black holes. Yes, we may create strangelets that theoretically destroy Earth. But it's very unlikely. Listen, we're home to the brightest minds in science. We are absolutely pushing the envelope of human understanding and knowledge about the origins of our universe. You have to trust us.
Did they give like a percent for like how likely it would possibly be?
I think
I'm sure that would be quite reassuring if they were like, there is an actual like 0.0002% chance.
Yeah, I saw one quote where they said, we are as sure that a black hole won't destroy the universe as we are sure about anything in science.
We're willing to bet your lives on it.
There is a lot of dancing around this point. I think this is why the media latched onto it so much, is because scientists surprisingly don't really talk in absolutes that much.
Right.
It's like they always say, gravity is just a theory. Like, even the most scientifically proven theories are still theories.
Yeah.
So even when CERN were like, it definitely, definitely, definitely won't destroy the Earth. We're like, are you sure? And they're like, well, we can't be sure. What? Well, we're just saying, statistically, anything's possible. What?
It's tough, isn't it? Because, you know, the Earth is just one big house party. And we're all guests. We're all trying to have a good time and make it sustainable for everyone. But if some people are like, hey, we're bringing our friend Tim to the house party.
Yeah.
There is a 0.000003% chance he's going to shit in your pillowcase.
Right.
He's not invited to
mention it?
He's not invited. There's no point in him coming to this party.
If the chance is that low, don't mention it.
Don't even bring it up.
Don't bring it up.
Why did you think you had to warn me of that chance? He's not coming to the party. Obviously, this is a bit more scientifically adventurous than shitting in a pillowcase.
Yeah, to say the least.
But it still is a threat.
It is. And they cannot deny that. But the world largely listened to CERN's reasoning until shortly after this media firestorm, the following video went public.
All right, what we're looking at is just the front of a building.
So this is the CERN headquarters in Switzerland.
Okay. Oh, no. oh, God, no. There's a lot of people in black cloaks out the front of the CERN headquarters.
It's very much midnight.
It's very dark at night. What are they is there one person in white?
Yes, there appears to be a young woman kneeling, not in a black robe.
Now she's lying down on the floor in a circle of all of them. Are they gonna kill her?
What? This is on The Guardian, to be clear. So, like, this is a reputable news source, published this video. You also neglected to mention the statue, sir. If I could direct your attention to the statue.
What is that statue?
What we have here is what appears to be a large statue of the Hindu god Shiva in a giant ring.
Okay.
It's all gold. It's about, what, I don't know, 12 foot tall.
It's enormous.
It's very large.
I mean, why would that be outside CERN anyway? That alone raises, like, quite a few questions.
The whole thing was not good press.
No, it's nuts.
So the PR department at CERN, 1 week, they're trying to explain to people that it's quite unlikely that they're going to destroy the universe. They kind of sweep that one under the rug. They get through that. A couple of members of staff leave because they're stressed as hell. But they get a couple new interns to handle the social media. It's all good.
Of course.
A couple weeks later, the headlines globally read, human sacrifice filmed at CERN. It wasn't good publicity. Now, CERN hit back on this and they said, this is a prank. Yeah, they said, we don't know who did this. This is like some scientists here. Like, there's thousands of members of staff at CERN.
Yeah.
From all around the world. They said someone thought this would be funny, I guess, and lit a bunch of torches in front of the statue, got a lot of robes, and staged a human sacrifice, and then got someone to film it outside our offices. It's in very much poor taste, and don't take it too seriously. And frankly, as far as I'm concerned, the jury's out in that one. You can decide for yourself. I'm not interested in knowing, believe it or not, whether this occult ritual is in fact real or not, because exactly what you mentioned is true. Even if this is staged, why is that statue there in the first place?
Yeah, and I mean, so even in their example, they're claiming that it was still people who work at CERN.
Oh, it's absolutely employees of CERN.
Which is still bad, because you have now the people who have the device that's capable of destroying the universe.
Yeah.
Also at night thinking it's funny to, like, make prank videos.
Yeah.
You should be way out of your pranking years by the time that you're working high-tech machinery at CERN.
If you have the Thanos glove.
But the Infinity Gauntlet, sir.
Infinity Gauntlet. You need not be making pranks or jokes. You have to be...
No wedgies.
Like Thanos himself, utterly humorless.
Completely, yeah, just noble and humorless.
Noble's a funny word to use, but yes.
Just, you know, right and... You're, you know,
sorry,
powerful.
You think he's
hot. You gotta be.
Let's just unpack those one by one. So, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, he saved the universe.
Well, I guess.
Got rid of half the people in it.
That's his point of view.
It's fine. There's like double the food now.
Do you not like the Avengers?
Yeah, they're, well, half of them are still around. You're welcome. I saved some of them. I'm not Thanos. I just realized I said I was Thanos. I'm not Thanos. Granted, you've never seen a picture of me, sure.
You did say you're welcome on behalf of Thanos.
Shut up, Gamora!
Yes, outside the CERN offices, they have a very, very large statue of Shiva, the Hindu destroyer of worlds, mythologically believed to destroy the cosmos in order to recreate it.
A fuck off.
Actually,
wait. That's part of her lore? She destroyed the cosmos?
Oh, yeah. Let's just be clear.
That is the worst person you could have in front of you. You just put a mad scientist made of bronze out there. You might as well have a giant bronze Thanos statue out the front of CERN.
This isn't the exact statue, but here is what the statue is depicted as doing. So this is Shiva participating in the Nataraja dance, which is the... You know, there's a lot to unpack in these images, but as you can see in Shiva's left hand here, we have the fire of destruction and recreation of the cosmos. This is the dance that Shiva performs in order to destroy and renew the universe.
This is like the CIA out the front of their building having a giant bronze statue of a man shaking hands with an alien gray. And they're like, it's just, you know, it's just a symbol of our eagerness to explore the rest of the cosmos. It's like, why does it have his name on the plaque and the date, which is Roswell?
It's like outside a courtroom, instead of having like the Lady Liberty holding the scales like perfectly balanced to represent the justice in society, yeah, just having a statue of a cop taking a bribe. But looking at this symbolism of the statue of Shiva represented at the CERN offices got me thinking about the symbolism of that, about that circular image. And I started reading a lot of people's thoughts about the Large Hadron Collider itself and what that looks like. And this got me started down a kind of rabbit hole, because whilst the collider itself doesn't have a actual image of a Hindu deity doing this dance of recreation, the Large Hadron Collider itself does resemble a giant circular gateway.
It does.
I mean, this thing is, like, I definitely advise looking up photos of the Large Hadron Collider. It's like a true spectacle, and it's absolutely, absolutely ginormous. So you have this interesting juxtaposition of... Why is this statue there? Well, it's because the statue of Shiva and his circular dance, as depicted in the statue, represents the destruction and creation of the universe. And then, symbolically, we have this also circular gateway of the Large Hadron Collider, which we know statistically stands a scientific possibility of the destruction and potential recreation of our own universe. This got me looking into the work of one William Henry. Basically, William Henry's work, along with many others, is the basis for at least another full podcast, so I'm not going to get into all of it here today.
Oh, damn.
William Henry researched ancient Sumerian culture, specifically the cuneiform tablets that the Sumerians left behind thousands of years ago. One of the earliest...
This is just really accelerating.
What'd you say?
CERN to the ancient hidden tablets of... I'm on board. We need to...
Keep up. We got a lot of places to go.
Okay, so... Sorry, the tablets. We were on the tablets?
Yes, the cuneiform tablets, thousands of years old. Right. Now, the Sumerians were one of the earliest advanced human civilizations. And the tablets that they left behind depicted, a bit like the ancient Egyptians, a whole variety of scenes. Traditionally, archaeologists have interpreted these mythically. For example, their creation myths or their mythologies about the gods. But people like William Henry and Zachariah Sitchin and others decided at one point to try interpreting these literally rather than mythically. Because these tablets depict the gift of technology and civilization to the original people of Mesopotamia from the gods. Because whenever we look back in time, we see that this civilization, seemingly out of nothing, suddenly had the ability for huge Mesolithic architecture, giant stone structures.
Hey, look, you're talking to the guy who's seen a hieroglyphic of a helicopter. You don't need to win me over, Chief. I'm already on board. These guys had iPhones. They had everything before we did.
I think they had a Samsung Fold. I really think they had the first folding smartphone.
And theirs didn't break. Theirs didn't even crack or malfunction.
There was no crease.
It was primo. We've talked a lot about on this podcast before about the different ways of understanding the kind of messages left behind by ancient civilizations.
Yeah.
And there are so many examples of how the stories from these civilizations could be interpreted as a visit or even gifts given by some sort of extraterrestrial, highly intelligent life force.
This is the ancient astronaut hypothesis.
Exactly.
As we've discussed, these tablets that depict the gift of technology and civilization from the gods, and basically the gods look a lot like Greys. And these gods are known as the Anunnaki. They descend from the heavens and gift technologies to the ancients. And Henry, Sechin, and others have floated the idea, what if these aren't myths? What if they just wrote down what literally happened to them? Well, Henry noticed that the Anunnaki seemed to use some kind of circular gate or portal to reach Earth. He thought maybe this is how they traveled to and from Earth, traveling insanely vast distances, not by rocket, but by a portal. He referred to this as the Stargate. And here I've got a couple of examples. Here is a 4,300-year-old tablet depicting one of our Anunnaki friends seemingly sort of appearing through a doorway.
Yeah, like a wavy doorway.
Yeah, it's got kind of movement lines like a kid would do.
Yeah.
To show that something's happening.
I mean, fair play. It's hard to get across the notion of movement when you're carving an image in stone. Like the least movable thing.
Every wave took about a month of chipping
three
away.
Three lives.
And then another similar one here where we're sort of seeing this sort of non-human being appearing through some kind of gateway.
Ooh.
And again, we've got kind of these lines of like shining appearance.
It's real creepy.
And Henry works out that if these tablets are depicting something real and not just mythological, these tablets would refer to occurrences in the ancient Mesopotamian city of Uruk, which today means southern Iraq. Problem is, Uruk was destroyed along with the Sumerian civilization in a series of global cataclysms and natural disasters thousands of years ago, likely meaning that if the Anunnaki were here on Earth, they left too. But what if Henry's Stargate is still under there? What if he could prove it? This brings us to the Iraq War.
Oh my god. I was just going to ask, how is this going to link back to CERN? This is crazy.
The US and Britain went to Iraq claiming to look for WMDs, but everyone now knows that that wasn't true. Experts and pundits have said, well, they were looking for oil or control over politically sensitive areas. But what if they were looking for the ancient Anunnaki technology, or at least trying to stop Iraq from getting there first. However misguided and evil Saddam Hussein was, he wanted to return Iraq supposedly to a former glorious past as a leader of civilization. And did this mean harnessing the power of the Stargate, the power to travel extraterrestrial distances within the blink of an eye?
I mean, I think I went on this podcast and said that Hitler went to Antarctica to go into a secret passage that led to the Hollow Earth.
Right.
And to this day, I believe that with 100% of my heart. So I am more than willing to consider the possibility that Saddam Hussein was hiding the Stargate in Iraq. I think it's my obligation to assume he was.
And I can hear the listeners right now. They're tuning out mentally. They think this is a little bit far-fetched. Then why, ladies and gentlemen, in 2002, during the invasion of Iraq, in a country at war, did Iraq approve a team of German archaeologists to excavate on the ancient city of Uruk in southern Iraq? Don't you see? Just as the troops land to search for WMDs, these archaeologists start digging. It's a race against time. They're hiding in plain sight. They were looking for a weapon of mass destruction after all. A f***ing Stargate.
This is the... Now you're getting me fired up. Do you think that they needed to send all of those people to Antarctica to freaking dig around? No, they brought extra troops. They brought scientists, hundreds of civilians there.
They brought the cavalry.
It was insane. It wasn't just a little survey mission. They were digging for stuff. And the same thing's happening right here.
And
we're unearthing the truth, guys.
There is an ancient past buried underneath all the shite that we've built in the last 10,000 years. Because that's one of the interesting points about all this is, for example, people have compiled images of ancient gateways that could be connected to this mythology.
My God.
Here we have one in Peru, the Puerta de Hayo. We have... That's just an actual
Stargate. That's just a picture of a Stargate. You're like, oh, we have this one here, which is actually in the Afghan mountains. I'm like, go there! That's a... I can see the space-time continuum bend around the curves.
Oh, sorry, that's just a mood board. Here's the Gate of the Sun in Bolivia. Again, an ancient pathway seemingly leading to nowhere. But is that because it is simply not activated? The Anunnaki, the ancient architects of this technology, have left it behind.
And this is what I love about this podcast, guys. You know, before I started hosting this podcast and investigating the paranormal, you know, I was a regular guy. I like a beer on a Friday night.
I had a family. I had a girlfriend.
I like some chicken wings. I like to watch the big game on a Sunday. And here we are, 2 years later, and I think that there is a metal library buried in a secret cave.
No, hell, I know there's a metal library buried in a secret cave.
And I know for a fact that Neil Armstrong hunted for it.
Yeah.
This was information I didn't know that I needed, but now I need to know it.
And suddenly the big game isn't so interesting. Tom Brady isn't so compelling. Because you know who's the real GOAT? It's the Anunnaki.
I would love it if we finally get in contact with the Anunnaki. We activate the stargates. I'm like, this is amazing. Well done, boys. I run over with like a bucket full of Gatorade and dunk it over them. And they're like, they melt to ash. The Stargate closes. And I'm like, you guys don't know this, but after the big game, that's actually a pretty chill thing to do.
And so you ask me, Rory, how does CERN come into all this? How does CERN come into all this?
I think I asked that a couple times and you...
That's how they come into all this. Yes, that's right. It's the same image I showed you earlier. But now in a very different context.
But now it's bigger. Bigger picture so you can see the big picture.
That is a Stargate.
Okay, this is really interesting because I've heard a couple paranormal theories about CERN before. Mm-hmm. I don't know if in your research you ever came across John Teeter. So he's a guy, he's one of the, at least online, he's one of the most famous time travelers.
Sure.
Or people who claim to be time travelers. And a lot of the theories and stories he came up with revolved around CERN not actually creating this Large Hadron Collider, but actually a device that could, was essentially a time machine. It could create like time manipulation and portals back and forward into time. And he was kind of blowing the lid on the whole operation.
This is all possible. Because the point I'm trying to make isn't that CERN is just specifically entirely engaged in creating a Stargate, but rather that all of these off-branching technologies like the internet, touchscreen technology, that these are all byproducts of some sort of ability to see technological innovation through time. It's as if they've been able to reach forward into the future, maybe into different dimensions, maybe into distant galaxies, and reverse engineer this technology. Hell, maybe they've just come across some Anunnaki runes and they're working backwards on whatever these ancient astronauts used.
You'd be really embarrassed if you worked at CERN and you finally managed to meet like some Anunnaki who would come down in a craft, and you're like, this is it, the secrets of the universe. You bring him into the laboratory, you show them the Large Hadron Collider, and then you seal the doors and launch them at each other at the speed of light, thinking that will solve the puzzle, and they just like completely explode and just die in the Large Hadron Collider. And it's like, we probably should have asked like a couple questions before we just fired them at each.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Each other.
And if we needed one more hint, one more nugget of truth from the past that could tie any more of this together, that could point us in the direction that maybe any of this Stargate information could be real, I would draw attention to 1970 in the USA. US intelligence found out that the USSR was spending around $1 million annually in 70s money on, quote, psychotronic research. Believing the Soviets had achieved results, they started a project in 1972 at Stanford researching remote viewing, something we've talked a little bit about before, but a quintessential paranormal phenomena.
I'm quite worried that these sound very similar to the remote viewing and psychodiving capabilities of the D7 demo
it's
chime
all
machine.
Connected.
This is terrifying how many things have popped up in this story. This is like
that
the
are
Avengers,
not used to you.
This is the Avengers team up of the paranormal world. Like all of our past episodes are coming to light in this.
So for this 1972 project, they assembled soldiers and civilians from around the country with psychic ability. This is all declassified shit, by the way. This is all public record. You can read this. This is like on Wikipedia. Very straightforward.
What do you mean with psychic abilities? Like they just guess?
What don't you get?
What, numbers behind your back?
Oh yeah.
Or they like killed a rabbit with their eyes?
Yeah. All of the above.
What do you mean? Oh, it can't be both of those. You can't say yes to both of those things because they're astonishingly different.
For this, more the number thing.
Okay, not so much.
And
there.
Then if it goes well, the killing thing.
Sure.
And they carried out hundreds of experiments over the next 15 years. And they operated multiple experiments under multiple code names, including Gondola Wish, Center Lane, Sunstreak, and Grill Flame.
These are like the names of our next five episodes. But, this is incredible.
But ultimately, the project came to be known as Stargate.
Oh, damn.
Now, one Joseph McGonigal was a US Army Chief Warrant Officer and a participant in Project Stargate. And we are going to talk about this in a future episode. This thing's huge. But he went public with all of this, wrote about it. He's given multiple interviews on the topic. And he said that psychic abilities in Project Stargate were possible, quote, outside the boundaries of time.
Jeez.
How was he getting outside the boundaries of time? Is the clue in the name? Were they using Stargate technology for these experiments?
Oh, you were waiting for me to respond?
Yeah.
Oh, these all sounded really rhetorical. God, I have no idea. I have no idea.
All I'm saying is we have a legit government psychotronic research program called Stargate, where a US Army officer said he was able to use psychic abilities outside space and time.
And you promised me these are actual declassified documents that you can read.
I'll send you the Wikipedia, but
okay.
No, I was reading about, like, there was a full US intelligence funded Project Stargate meta-analysis where they tried to get to the bottom of, after 15 years of psychotronic research, what did we find out?
Yeah.
And in that one study, and they had basically top psychologists and researchers from Stanford, Harvard fill in the gaps. It's like the top minds. They said the evidence for psychic ability was better than chance, i.e. significant, statistically significant, that it is real. However, it wasn't workable for US intelligence ends. They never, on paper at least, they never once managed to successfully complete a military operation or intelligence operation with psychic abilities.
Right.
Therefore, they defunded the whole program.
That is so insane that it's basically, we didn't know how to make it a weapon. So we're going to say it doesn't exist or it's not real.
So that is public knowledge. You can definitely download that document.
Wow. It's always like a bit of a dark day when you're researching this podcast and you're like, I'm going to pick some crazy outlandish story and it's going to be, we'll rip it to shreds. And then the deeper and deeper you get, you're like, wow, this is an actual decommissioned military document. You're like,
yep.
Okay, so this guy, he didn't just, you know, it's not rumored he existed. Like, here's a picture of him. And I remember like reading about the mission, like declassified documents talking about the missions that the Nazis were taking to Antarctica in submarines. And I was like, this is f***ed. I was like, I am forgetting things I should know and learning this. And this seems really important.
It's the one time when you look up at your URL bar on Chrome and you wish it said crystallinks.com. You wish it said snopes.com. But no, it says CIA.gov. It's all too real.
They're hiding it in plain sight, folks.
So we gotta run this puppy in. This is getting crazy.
There's a whole horde of puppies.
Let's try and narrow it down. Let's try and talk about the Stargate. Is CERN building one? Is one in southern Iraq? Did Saddam Hussein defend one? The other stuff is just like icing on the cake. Like, we know Project Stargate existed, but does it have any connection to the core technology of the Stargate?
I really hate that I can't even dispute the fact that Project Stargate existed. That happened, guys. All you folks listening out here, you can't even argue it didn't, because it did. How depressing is that? Because if the whole thing had been, is Project Stargate real? I would have said no. And you could have done this amazing twist where you're like, look at this, f***er, and like thrown the documents in my face. And I would have been absolutely just astounded. Like, hopefully that's not what you're doing with CERN right now, where I'm like, it's not real. And you're like, oh, is it not?
An Anunnaki jumps out of my screen.
Hits me with a tablet.
Those are heavy.
Okay, let's try and hone in on CERN. Is CERN up to something paranormal? But it's strange, because I think obviously, even if they're up to something that's weird or like bending the space-time continuum, it's all still done through science and experiments.
Yeah, goddamn nerds.
So it's that fine line between like the paranormal and like weird science stuff.
Yeah, like unfortunately, strange matter is real, and one particle of a strangelet interacts with Earth, we all die for some reason. I don't really understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all there. It's not like, okay, we need to test the machines, check the hydraulics on the left side and on the underneath. We need to sacrifice that goat and drink its blood right before the ritual begins. And we'll pray to the statue. And then at that point, the cloud should part and the lightning bolt will power the collider.
Mm-hmm.
There's no goat. There's no lightning. There's no curses. It's still science. But it's still some pretty paranormal shit.
Mm-hmm.
Making black holes, possibly. Strangelets that can rip apart the space-time continuum. Hell, I'll say that's paranormal. Absolutely. If Project Stargate is real, I don't know what's not anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going in. That's a yes for me this week.
Is CERN paranormal? Yes.
Hell yes.
If it isn't, nothing else is. I think I'm happy to conclude that CERN is paranormal as shit. And we can come back to Project Stargate another day. There's a whole can of worms to open up right there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is already, I don't know if people listening to this are super new to the podcast, but you should definitely go back and listen to the one we did with Neil Armstrong and the Metal Library.
Yeah.
That's pretty in line with a lot of these things.
This one's pretty crazy. I'd like to know what you guys think about it. Email in your thoughts to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the socials. Twitter.com/thisparalife, Facebook.com/thisparanormallife. And if you're enjoying our recent episodes and you just can't get enough, you should check out our bonus episodes. That's right, there are bonus episodes out there. That's because we have a Patreon. Because we don't run any ads on the podcast, the only way we make it possible to create the show and get to talk about as crazy shit as we talk about every week, it's because you guys support us on Patreon. And from $2 a month, you can get shout outs, bonus episodes, t-shirts, merchandise.
Everything you need in life so that upon one glance, people know this guy gets it. This guy has collided shit at the speed of light.
And if you turn up to CERN on a guided tour wearing a This Paranormal Life t-shirt, we'll probably show you the Stargate.
It's like an all access badge at this point, folks. And I've tried it at a couple venues. I've tried it at our local watering hole. They were like, help yourself. And then they hold up their hand, which has been, you know, the commune signal has been like burnt into their palm. You know, it's like, that'll happen a lot once you start wearing the shirt and meeting other people. I mean, there is a huge community out there of people in the commune, and they're all there like sleeper cells.
That's right.
It's great. You know, you go to get your car washed, like, how much is this going to cost? And he goes, for a commune member, shit all.
And still quite a lot, though. Turns out it was only like a 20% discount.
And then you both like praise Ra and go up on your days. It's a great life. Get involved, guys.
Yeah, the stonemasons were the commune for a lot of years, but now it's all about this paranormal life. And if you've not heard a bonus episode before and want to know what it sounds like, here's a clip of this week's. And to this day, people examine the prophecies of Mother Shipton because it's said that she successfully foretold a number of historic events. So Rory, I thought we would read some and work out how accurate her predictions really were.
Let's do it. Number one, she said, invest in Bitcoin. At the time, it was a bit ambiguous, but yes, I think that was probably a smart move.
An early prophecy was, sign up to the mailing list at satoshi.com for the latest crypto news, folks. I think we'll start off with something like straightforward, and then we'll see how we go.
Cool.
So a popular one that people discuss is as follows. Carriages without horses shall go, and accidents fill the world with woe. Around the world, thoughts shall fly in the twinkling of an eye. Underwater, men shall... I'm sorry, it's something funny.
Why do they all have to rhyme? You're telling the future. It has to be very factually accurate. And I feel like facilitating the rhyming structure is only going to make you say things that aren't necessarily entire truths.
She was the daughter of Satan. She's okay. Very powerful. I think she can rhyme and tell the truth at the same time. Biggie Smalls could do it. Why can't Mother Shipton rhyme and tell the truth? So I'm sorry, but let me continue with the truth that you should be paying attention to. Underwater, man shall walk, shall ride, shall sleep, and talk. In the air, men shall be seen in white, in black, and in green.
Again, this is mad. So, like, no other colors, just those colors? Because it sounds like she included green because it fucking rhymed. Like, it doesn't sound like that was a necessity to state.
Oh, good my times. Gosh. Good
wow.
Times.
That clip was so good. I'm so glad we picked a clip that it represents the consistency of how hilarious every one of those episodes is.
Wow.
Well done.
And at the end of every episode, we like to take the time to shout out those who've supported us on Patreon. And that's what we're going to do right now. Let's go. Thank you to Lee Tudsbury.
Lee Tuds was buried alive. Not many people know that about him. It was actually a pretty terrifying experience. You know how they, when they think someone's going to be buried alive, they give them a little bell to ring?
Right.
Well, I don't think they wanted Lee above ground, even if he was alive, because they just cemented over the thing as soon as it was done.
I don't know if that's even being buried. That's entombed, I think.
Because he was screaming. He was crying out, I ain't dead, I ain't dead. And they're just shot on the turns.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry,
it
Lee.
It was cruel. They gave him an air horn instead of a bell. It still didn't do shit.
Gave an air horn with no air pressure. So it just went, down there. Which didn't do much at all.
Did he get out?
Hell no.
Oh.
I don't even know how he sent this contribution.
I guess they buried him down there with a laptop and a Wi-Fi.
And that's all you need, buddy. I'm above ground. And
I guess.
I use this laptop with Wi-Fi.
Well, thank you very much, Lee. It's very kind for you to take the time. I guess you got a lot of it, but thank you. Thank you also to Sebastian St. Arrowman. I'm not sure how Sebastian can be a saint and an arrow man. I think saints are supposed to be good, but arrow man sounds pretty violent.
I don't know. Like Robin Hood was pretty saintly, and he was an arrow man.
But he shot a lot of people.
He killed a few people, but sure, I think they were pretty rich, actually. Did Robin Hood...
Is rich bad?
Yeah, like, rich, did he just kill okay? Rich, nice people? Like, if a rich guy was, like at the church putting all his money in the poor box, Robin Hood still be like, hey-ya! And
yeah.
Like, stab it, slit his throat with an arrow and stuff. And it's like, oh my God. It's like, don't worry, I'm giving it to the poor. It's like, that's murder. You murdered a man.
He was giving it to the poor. Yeah, like the rich guy that in the street, you'd be like, hey, just ask me. Like, I'll give money.
I give money to the poor. I don't have to gank my shit.
I'm a philanthropist.
Because you've ganked enough that I'm poor now. You have to gank it from the poor people you ganked it from.
Those poor people look pretty swish now, actually.
So hopefully Sebastian is a pretty chill guy, not Robin Hooding it up.
He seems like he's towing that line. Thanks, Sebastian. Thanks also to Shabazz.
A lot of people actually want to know how he got that nickname, Shabazz. Mm. When actually he was training at Magic Camp, you know, where, you know, you go for a summer as a child, you learn to perform various...
I didn't, but
well,
sure.
You know, the cool kids, they go and they learn how to perform,
wow,
like magical tricks. And one of them was
cool,
like just guessing the card in a deck.
Yeah.
And it's not real. You know, they pick a card, it's all fake, they put it back in there.
Yeah.
And here is your card, and the kid is supposed to say, you know, Alakazam.
Yeah.
And it just like, it's just a little silly magic trick. It's not
sure.
Real. And it's like, oh, this is your card. And everyone's impressed. And at quiz time, where you could find out if you got your wizard grade, he went up and misspoke and said, Alashabazz, which turned out was real magic. And the souls of 1,000 children got lodged in the deck of cards.
Wow, every child that was there.
Every child. I mean, like, people just disappeared. Bodies turned to ash in front of him. It was insane. The only people, his teachers, who knew how to undo the spell, ash. They were ash.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so ever since then, he's been known as Shabazz, the Shabazz Kid.
Jesus, imagine wielding all that magic for one split second, ruining everything, and then never being magic again.
Never knowing how to do any more magic.
Wow.
The one thing you did was catastrophically shit.
I guess you still have it in you, though, Shabazz.
Hopefully, by in you, we mean, like, the cure and not the power to suck another 1,000.
Yeah, I guess I'm... Yeah. Yeah.
Because you probably have that in you as well.
Yeah, I'd say start with releasing the souls of the first 1,000 children.
Yeah. What's Shabazz backwards?
What? Zabazz.
Zabazz?
Yeah.
Our room starts filling up with children. We are free after 1,000 years. Well, thank you for your support. Please never utter those terrifying words around us at the commune. But thank you so much.
Thank you also to Trent North.
Trent North, Trent South, Trent East, Trent West. Wherever you are, Trent, you got a friend, and that's me. I'm stalking you, buddy. I'm everywhere. I'm watching
all directions. That's right.
I'm your shadow, and I'm your reflection.
Look under your boot, Trent. What do you see? Oh, is that a GPS tracker? Uh-oh. Oh, you can destroy it, but it's too late, Trent.
Because there's one on your other boot.
Uh-oh.
Did you destroy that one, Trent? Because I hope you didn't. That was we only had two, Trent.
Don't tell him that.
Sorry. If you know, I'm really worried he destroyed it. We just said he had two.
Trent, if you ping us with your WhatsApp location,
just
we'll
share it. Yeah,
we'll hook you up with like a T-shirt or some shit.
Yeah, just keep it going,
Trent. I hope you don't get lost out there. We used to look out for you, track you, but can't do that anymore, I guess. So you're on your own, buddy. But thanks very much for taking the time to quit wandering and support the podcast on Patreon. Very kind, very kind. Thank you also to Noah Shreve.
I don't know a Shreve. Who is it? What's the name?
Noah Shreve.
Do I know a Shreve? I don't know any Shreves.
What do you think a Shreve is? You seem to know what it is.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it is quite a crucial part in the mechanics of a fighter jet.
I mean, it might be.
You can't tell me it's not.
Probably not crucial. I mean, every part of a fighter jet's crucial. Which bit is not crucial?
Like, you can imagine going to a museum with the Wright brothers, where it's like, you know, for years, flight seemed an impossible dream of man, till one night, one of the Wright brothers dreamt of a device he later called the Shreve. The Shreve was the missing piece in man's quest to conquer the skies. And it's like interviews with him where it's like, as soon as we got the Shreve in place, the dang thing flew.
It had been there all along in Leonardo da Vinci's first drawings of an aeroplane, the Shreve.
Hidden in plain sight.
So I don't know if Noah invented the Shreve, if his ancestors invented the Shreve, but pretty cool, I guess.
I don't know if this is just a Shreve itself, not even a human. but thank you so much for your contribution, Mr. or Mrs. Shreve. We really appreciate it.
Thank you also to Paul Poppleton.
Did you know Paul was actually the original inventor of popcorn?
What?
He was the first dude to pop a corn.
Everyone else just...
Which sounds really sexual, but I assure you, I am talking about the cinema suite.
Well, he did a lot of sexy shit with it, too, but...
How do you think the corn got that hot?
There weren't microwaves back then.
But yeah, he actually called it popplecorn.
It's very vain of him.
He was like, this is it, this is my legacy. And he showed it to a wandering traveler who was like, this is really interesting. And you know, he was like, oh, cool, I'm glad you like it, Mr. Sorry, I didn't catch your name. Pop. Mr. Pop. And then Mr. Pop hammered him with a freaking shovel and took the recipe, and now it's called popcorn.
No
not
way.
Popcorn. Yeah, little fact.
That's insane.
So it's a shame that his family name wasn't carried through the years in the form of popcorn. Hell, that's what I want to be remembered for.
But we're gonna rewrite the history books and have him remembered. And thank you, lastly, but not leastly, to Mark Owens.
Mark Owens is always blowing up my phones. Ask when the next podcast show is.
Are you okay?
Usually when we get to the last person... in our shout-out list, my brain has melted into a tree stump, and the only thing I can come out with is just very vague, poor rhymes.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, Mark, I don't have that spark right now, but, you know, it's getting dark, and...
It's becoming borderline slam poetry.
You really think it's, I have that gift? You think I could do that? It's cool, man. That's good, because I've actually been wanting to do it for a while.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, so if you could just give me...
You've never said that before.
Like a bongo-y style beat.
Okay.
And I'll just like riff off something about Mark real quick to round off the show.
Okay.
Okay.
Doom, doom, doom.
Thank you. Doom, some
doom,
clicks.
Doom, 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 doom.
Yo, this is going to get real deep, guys. Doom, doom, Mark. Doom, doom, doom. Mark is a spark in the night. Doom, doom, the night full doom, of fright. But Mark doom, is here. Doom, doom, Mark is doom, doom, near.
Doom, 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 doom,
Mark, you're doom, close yet far, so doom, far, doom, but... Doom, doom. Light is here, light is near. When morning rise, babies cries. Wah wah, bottle now, mommy. Milk from mother, cow, brother. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode.
Oh, everyone's gone.
Pretty much cleared the bar. People just don't like milk of brother, I guess.
Well, thank you, Mark. And thank you to everyone we've shouted out today and everyone we have shouted out in the past and are yet to shout out. It's very much a past, present, future sort of a thing. If you haven't heard your name shouted out just yet, that's because it's on its way. We've got a bit of a backlog, as always, but we're getting there slowly but surely. So thanks for being so patient.
Thank you.
Hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. We'll be back on Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale.
See you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.